Staining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
No, it's not. We've got a special guest.
Marnie. Can you hear
Hello.
Us?
Hello.
G'day, how's it going?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello, Johnny.
Now, Marnie, it's myself and Big Hungry here in the BFM studio.
I'm the one screaming off mic from time to time, and I'll probably carry on in that fashion throughout this interview.
Good. That sounds like a good role.
Now, Marnie, can you introduce yourself and what organisation are you representing?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Marnie Prickett, and I'm the spokesperson for a campaign which is called Choose Clean Water.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's been a bit of news
Do you
recently.
Do you still have a drink of water, John?
I just had
That's
a little
fuzzy.
Sip.
Ooh.
Now, there's been a bit of news around nitrates in the water supply. I've seen a couple of stories where people have been living in areas where there is intensive dairying and the nitrate levels in the groundwater and the bore water has crept right up and people have been becoming unwell.
Is dairying the right word?
Yeah.
Sure thing. Okay, cool. Carry on.
Why do you need to be concerned about nitrates in the water supply, Marnie?
There's a number of reasons why we'd be thinking about not just nitrates, but nitrogen in our water. And here we're thinking about not just our drinking water, but also the water that's in our rivers and our lakes. And you mentioned bores before, so that's talking about groundwater, so in our aquifers as well. All those things are all sort of interconnected. A lot of towns get their water supplies from rivers, so it's about kind of keeping that system healthy. And at the moment we are we have been for a number of years now pushing well beyond what not only our environment can handle, but now what's good for our bodies as well. So there's been quite a lot of conversation happening around nitrogen in waterways and rivers, particularly, and what the level needs to be to keep our rivers healthy. Mm. And scientists are finding more recently that actually the level that's required to keep the river itself healthy, so the things that live in it and swim in it and make their home in it, is actually quite similar to the level that would keep people healthy. So in terms of their drinking water. So there's a connection here between nitrogen putting pressure on our ecosystem, but also nitrogen starting to put pressure on people's bodies.
Now, how close are we to the ideal limit with the current limit and current levels of nitrogen and nitrates in the water supply?
Yeah, so there's a bit of a backstory here, which is that the government's in 2017, people might remember this as now a few years ago, but in 2017, water was a really big issue at the election. So particularly the health of rivers became a really big issue for New Zealanders because they've been seeing their rivers being degraded over time. And you mentioned dairying in your intro there. The intensity of the dairying systems that we've got at the moment are putting a lot of nitrogen, particularly pressure, on our rivers, and people have been watching those rivers degrade. And so in 2017, the Labor Party was saying that if they were elected, they'd do something to curb that pollution going into water. And when they were, when they did form a government, they started on what was called the Essential Freshwater Process. So that's been going on for a wee while. And last year, in May, it finally got to the point where the Minister for the Environment, David Parker, made an announcement. And he disappointed many people, including myself, when he actually set the nitrogen bottom line for rivers at 2.4 milligrams per litre. Now, that's way above what the scientists have suggested. They've suggested 1 milligram per litre as being the healthy limit for rivers. And so there was a big outcry at the time, and the minister said, well, actually, we're going to come back and review this in a year's time, and that year is rapidly, that sort of 12 months is rapidly coming to an end.
What frustrates me there is the minister hasn't a clue. The scientists know what they're doing. Why? That's very frustrating. That he can just go, oh, no, here's what we think is good. Well, actually, mate, you don't know what you're talking about, so.
It is. It's hugely frustrating.
What are your credentials to make that call? Like, if we literally got people saying how it is, the guesswork's done, you know? You don't need to you've got these people doing these jobs for a reason and we're not listening to them. It's very frustrating. Sorry, I'm getting a little upset.
No, I agree with you. And at the time, it was hugely frustrating. And there was a big outcry about this because this is exactly what they promised to do something about healthy rivers when they got into power, and then they were there and the scientists were saying this is the number, and they didn't put it in place. They put it off for 12 months. And the story that's come out today, Radio New Zealand reported on it, saying that actually MPI, the Ministry for Primary Industries, was putting a lot of pressure on the Ministry for the Environment to weaken that bottom line, to make it to allow more nitrogen pollution in rivers.
Jesus.
So they were, yeah, sorry.
One government department is putting pressure on another to back down on environmental regulation.
Exactly.
Or protection. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it looks like from from the report from RNZ, yeah.
What's interesting to me is I hadn't thought too much about fertilizer use in like fruit and vegetable production, but this is something which also affects nitrates feeding into rivers and streams and water in general.
It also ruins the land for future crops anyway. It's not a sustainable way to grow anything. You're not in harmony with your environment. You're in trouble from the get-go.
What are we going to do for food, or how do we diversify our food crops to, use and require less fertilizer?
Yeah, so there's a few things going on there. Even though vegetable cropping takes up a relatively small amount of land across New Zealand compared to dairy farming, which is why people often focus on dairy farming. Vegetable growing takes up a smaller amount of space, but it's quite nitrogen heavy in terms of how much is lost from that system. And so this is about looking across all sectors and recognizing that we've blown out some of the environmental limits that we have. There are some physical realities to keeping the environment healthy that we're going well beyond. And so it's about having all sectors be responsible for their impact. And that doesn't mean no vegetable growing. It doesn't mean that we have to, suddenly have no food production, because everybody needs to eat. But it is about recognising where we've gone too far and actually rejigging our system so that they can be restoring the environment as well as producing for people.
This is kind of a point that isn't so much to do with how we're treating land, but a lot of houses, like I'm on tank water where I am, and I'm always surprised how many houses just don't have a tank just when they can, like it doesn't seem like a big deal just to put a tank in every house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just then the need is reduced, and the stresses are off everything. You've got like a little reservoir. We're not all trying to tap into the Waikato and steal all that water, and drink all that whatever's in there, all that kind of problem. Does it seem weird to you that we don't have tanks on every house? Like it should just be a normal thing.
Yeah, it does seem like a missed opportunity, especially because in our urban environments, often we pave over a lot of the land,
right.
and all that water just suddenly and very fast runs off down into drains and then out into the environment. So there's a double whammy there that you miss capturing that water, but also you're washing off a whole lot of contaminants into your environment. I think that it is a bit of a missed opportunity there. And as you say, we are also not just coming to the limits of the pollution that goes into waterways. We're coming to the limits of, in many parts of the country, about how much we can actually take out of rivers. And for a river to be a river and for a stream to be a stream and a lake, they have to have water in them. And that's another part of what Choose Clean Water is doing at the moment, is that we're looking at how much water is actually being taken out of our environment and finding that in some places streams are starting to dry up because there's so much water that's being taken, and so they're disappearing.
We always get this text just about every week, but permaculture, 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 permaculture. It's a great word. Look into it, everyone.
There's lots of good permacultural principles.
100, yeah. Why is so much nitrogen lost in veggie growing? Is it from the fertilizers? Yes. Is the answer to that question.
Yeah, so for the people who are thinking about that vegetable growing and the nitrogen loss here, think also about how much bare soil there is in a patch of vegetables. So if you drive past a field that's growing, let's say beetroot, for example, you'll see the beetroot in those rows, but you'll also see a whole lot of bare soil, and it's because of it's a lot to do with the fact that there is bare soil in that landscape as well, that means that the nitrogen loss from those systems is so high, because nitrogen feeds the plant, but if you're pouring nitrogen onto bare soil and there's no plants to take that nitrogen up, then that nitrogen's just lost out the bottom of the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Mm. It really does. Yeah.
Mm. Now, what can we do as city slickers in Auckland, just buying veggies from the supermarket and living our lives? Is there anything that we can do to improve?
Stop that.
Yeah. What can we do?
Stop that,
Marnie.
Shit.
What can we do?
Yeah. Look, there's loads of things that can be done. And this is about thinking about urban waterways as well as rural waterways in our rural landscapes. So one of the things that you can do is that you can write to your council or write to your local MP and express your thoughts about how important waterways are to you. That I know that sounds like kind of a soft
drop
in the bucket, but yeah. But those things are our MPs are really affected when we get in touch with them. That they're
human.
You know, the more that people, they're human, and the more that they hear about particular issues, the more it becomes something that's on their agenda. So it's always worthwhile doing that.
I was actually thinking about this the other day, because I'm not a big typer, but could you just record a voice memo and just email that to your MP, like a polite one? You know, would they'll probably listen to that, right? It's just a thought anyway. Carry
possibly.
On. So, what else can we do?
Possibly. Sorry. We're entering a world of like new technology. Why not? Send them a TikTok.
Actually, yeah, straight up, you could probably just at them on Insta. They love that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Now, what else, Marnie? Yeah. Is there something else we've got? Writing or TikToking at our MP? What else can we
at
do?
Your MP.
I'm lazy. What do you want me to do?
Another one is writing to your local newspapers. I can't emphasize this enough, but actually putting 150 words down in an email to your to the New Zealand Herald, for example, makes a huge difference, because the more our newspaper editors, it's the same sort of principle as the MPs, the more people hear about concerns around water, and this is including the editor of the Herald, the more that they're likely to think, oh, this is something that people care about, and so therefore I'm going to cover it more in the newspaper. And then that builds sort of interest and pressure, and it builds the momentum and the mandate for change.
It really is that simple, eh? Really, it does actually come down to that. Just an awareness on everyone's part, you know?
Yeah, it's about engaging, and recognising that the way that decisions get made isn't just by voting in a particular party or
hoping that their ideals align with yours. You can actually just get in touch with these actual human beings that have contacts.
Yeah,
they have their contacts out there for a reason, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard to. I mean, it's as much as I'd like to think that buyer power is, consumer power is the way to go, it's really difficult for people to identify in the supermarket which vegetables are the ones
everyone's
that are going to
so
be
price
that,
sensitive.
Especially if you can't afford to make those choices as well. Mm. You know, it's unfair.
And with our dairy industry, 95% of what's produced in New Zealand's dairy industry is sent overseas. Our consumer voting with your dollar, as people sometimes call it, is not really going to work when it comes to trying to influence dairy practices. Mm. So it's really what it comes down to about water pollution and protecting waterways and protecting drinking water sources is it really, really comes down to our government and how well our government can regulate, and giving them the mandate to regulate on behalf of all of us so that we have healthy, you know, living rivers, lakes, streams that can support communities.
How's the irony that we export 95% of all our dairy and whatnot, and then we have all these clean green ads trying to get everyone over here to chuck out a bomb in the river? Or like, you know, like, what the fuck? Come have a swim. Oh, wait a minute. It's pretty embarrassing,
really. I mean, I find it endlessly kind of disappointing, really, that we that we put out that image out into the world. But, and, you know, a lot of our sort of, the dairy industry executives spend quite a lot of money on advertising
making
the dairy
it so.
Industry.
Yep.
But they've also put a lot of pressure on the government to weaken the fresh water policy. So it's more than irony. I think it's bad. I think it's acting in bad faith.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Mm. All right, Marnie. Hey, it's been wonderful to talk with you this evening. Where can people go to check out more about your organisation?
Yeah, so people can check us out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, which is all sort of Choose Clean Water NZ. The other place they can go is our website, which is choosecleanwater.org.nz, and that'll tell you a little bit more about the specific campaigns that we're doing now and how you can help and how you can get involved.
Awesome.
Hey, just before you go, Marnie, I was wondering if you might know this. I heard a while ago, back when I was like plumbing, that the world's running out of fresh water. Is that true on any level?
There's certainly huge pressure on fresh water around the world, and New Zealand is no different. And this is why we're talking a lot about how much water is being taken out of the environment. It's the fact that we've got this kind of idea in our head that water is infinite.
Yeah,
and
like
we can
the osmosis
use as much as we want.
Fixes it every time or some shit, but apparently it's not quite how it is going down, right?
Yeah. So I would say it's renewable, but it's not infinite. We can take too much out of the system, and once we damage those ecosystems, we really start, you know, we're starting chain effects where we're damaging, you know, we're not just damaging in-stream river ecosystems, but we're damaging terrestrial ecosystems, and hopefully all your listeners know now that healthy ecosystems support humans, so you have to have healthy ecosystems.
Wait, we're animals too? Holy shit.
Yeah, we're part of these systems, and if they're not healthy, then we're going to really struggle, and that's what we're seeing. That's where we are now. We're pushing things too far.
Kia ora, Marnie. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you when we see you.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, mate.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.